wonder if you would pray with me and for me this morning. Gracious God, we thank you for this season of preparing for the birth of Jesus. And God, I thank you for a church that can laugh together, that can find joy in the mundane, in the everyday. And God, we pray for those in the world right now, for those in our community who are struggling with joy. God, we pray that somehow they might experience you this Christmas. As I speak today, God, I pray that you might speak through me, that you would give us ears to hear what you want each of us to hear this morning, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do, and for goodness sakes, let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in the second Sunday of Advent. This is the season, the Sundays leading up to Christmas Eve, leading up to Christmas Day, the preparation for this season, for this birth of Jesus. And today we're going to talk about joy. So naturally, as I went searching for joy, as I went looking for something, I found something so, so cool that I want to talk to you about this morning, and it's called the Boring Conference. The Boring Conference. It came out in 2010. It was a response to the Interesting Conference, which was shut down, which was canceled. And you might think the Boring Conference is awful and no one goes to it, but it sells out every single time they do it. Every single time. And in the Boring Conference, it's a one-day celebration where they celebrate and pay attention to the mundane, the ordinary, the obvious, and the overlooked. Speakers have talked about things like sneezing, toast, the sounds made by vending machines, barcodes, yellow lines, inkjet printers of 1999, ice cream van chimes, which are often Christmas songs, by the way, if you listen carefully, how to cook elaborate meals with the equipment found in hotel rooms, and all other kinds of really boring things. Now, here's the thing about the Boring Conference. The topic can be boring, but the way the information is shared cannot be boring. It cannot be boring. In fact, people find the topics incredibly fascinating, so much so that one year, this guy heard this thing about those hand blow dryers, the Dyson hand blow dryers, and he loved it so much he got them installed in his home, in the bathrooms, because he felt the need to have that thing in his house. There has to be something in each of these topics that draws people in. In fact, most things, if you look at them in enough detail, can become fascinating. There's almost always something there. And that's the part that caught my attention when I heard about the Boring Conference. There's almost always something there. There's almost always something in the moment to find interesting or to find joy about. Again, this is the second week in Advent, where we're in this series called Rediscover Christmas, where we're trying to put the lens of a child on, to go back, to look at this concept of this baby being born, of the joy that we find at Christmas, to look at this idea of how we experience Christ in the midst of the mundane, in the midst of the regular, of how we prepare and how we get ready. Last week, we talked about discovering hope in the waiting. And today, we shift to this idea of rediscovering joy. We spend a lot of time in our lives trying to find happiness. And I think happiness and joy are different things. In fact, do you know, and I think this is the first time they've done it, this year there is an adult Happy Meal at McDonald's. Anybody seen that? It's a Grinch Happy Meal. You get Grinch socks in the Happy Meal, and you get this green salt, pickle salt, that you can put on your fries. I have not tried it. Supposedly Burger King has one too, that's SpongeBob. I don't know. I've seen the commercials. But here's the fascinating thing. I have never left, sorry, McDonald's, a meal at McDonald's and felt joy. Never. In fact, here's the problem with a Happy Meal. That happiness lasts for a really short time. You get this thing, you think it's going to make you happy. In fact, if you go and get one of these adult meals, there will be some nostalgia for you. I will tell you, I eat at McDonald's one night a year. It is Christmas Eve. I leave the last service and I go to McDonald's and get food. It's usually the only thing that's still open. And I look forward to it. I do not always feel great the next morning. Here's the problem when it comes to Christmas and joy. Here's the challenge. We watch things like commercials. We watch the Hallmark movies, which I hear they're trying to find a second plot to. We watch all of these things. And they point out this image that Christmas is going to be all happy. Christmas is going to be all joyful, and it's not for everybody. You notice that? For some people, it's really, really tough. Whether you've lost somebody this year, whether you've lost a job, you don't have the resources you need, whether Christmas brings this memory of pain for you, it's not always filled with laughter and happiness. I mean, this morning we sang joy to the world. The world should be joyful, but I don't know about you. I don't always feel that way. I don't always find myself in that place. And sometimes I get a little frustrated that the world tries to shove it in my face. Sometimes I wonder, why do I not feel the way that everybody else feels? I would bet that the number one topic of conversation that I have with people in my office is around this idea of joy. They don't say it that way. They don't come in and say, I don't have enough joy. They come in and say things like, I don't have fulfillment in my life. They come in and say, I'm not feeling the good feels right now. They come in and they say, I watch all these other people around me and they're happy and I can't find it. I mean, I have that conversation over and over and over again. People want to find purpose. People say, I want that feeling I have when I'm in worship on Sunday mornings when I leave out in the world. We are in an incredible search for joy in our lives. We long for it. We want it in our lives. I think it's why it's one of the words of the Advent season. It's a universal desire for people in the world. I want to take a look this morning at a part of the Bible that really addresses this. Paul is writing to the Roman people. Now, Paul was imprisoned in Rome, and he has this love for the Romans, and he notices that in hearing about that church, they seem to have lost their joy. They seem to be struggling with this concept. So I want to look at this passage about the church losing its joy and how Paul responds to them in Romans chapter 15 this morning. It says this, each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Do you hear that? Accept one another in order to do what? Bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs may be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the people extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think there are some things that come out of this passage where he's writing to the Romans to encourage hope in the church that we can glean today, that we can grab from it. I think that Paul has a particular goal when he's reaching out to them. And the first thing that he sort of hits on is that joy is found outside of yourself. Joy is found when we try to go and connect with others. I think I hear so often, I need to find something that brings me joy. You ever heard that? I need to do a job that brings me joy. I need to eat foods that bring me joy. I need to hang out with people that bring me joy. That's a very self-focused thing. But he seems to say that joy comes from outside of ourselves. I mean, look at what he says in the first part. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Paul says, in order to find joy, you have to build up your neighbor. In order to find joy, you have to love your neighbor. In order to find joy, you have to look outside of yourself as Jesus did. See, I think the problem with joy, friends, is we're looking for all these things to make us feel better. We're trying to find it in the world. We're trying to find it in stuff. We're trying to find it in things. And Paul says joy comes from outside of yourself. It comes from your relationship with other people and ultimately your relationship with God. The challenge with the Happy Meal, even if they make them for adults, it's limited. You eat it and then you lose the happiness. The true joy that comes from Christ, the true joy that comes from loving other people is a joy that is lasting. Paul says to rediscover joy, we have to give to our neighbors. And in doing so, we will find joy ourselves. It sounds crazy, but you know something that puts a really big smile on my face? A good, warm chocolate chip cookie. Anybody else? I mean, a good, not a bad, hard, burnt chocolate. No. A good, warm. My daughter makes the best chocolate chip cookies I've ever had. And I love it when she makes them. I really, really do. And this is a plea, by the way. If you want to make me good, warm chocolate chip cookies, I will take them. But here's what I started thinking about when I thought about chocolate chip cookies. Who makes chocolate chip cookies or who bakes cookies more than anybody else? Grandmas, right? Grandmas love to, and that's not a male-female thing. It's just what I experience. Grandmas love to bake chocolate chip cookies. But rarely, my mother-in-law bakes them all the time. She's good. She's not as good as my daughter. Don't tell her, but she's good. But you know what she does when she bakes chocolate chip cookies? She brings them to our house. Because what she knows when she bakes them is they bring joy to us. Rarely do grandmas bake chocolate chip cookies and eat the whole batch themselves. They do it to bring joy to other people. And I was like, we need to be more like grandmas and chocolate chip cookies, right? We need to share that joy with the world. We need to do an act of generosity for others because that will bring them joy. Friends, when we serve other people, that leads to joy in our own lives. It's pretty simple. It's not as complex as we often make it. When we find ourselves serving others, it will bring us joy. Here's the second thing, and I think this is a really important way that we receive joy, is to share Christ with others. Look at verse 7 again. It says this, accept one another. Then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Listen to the words in these verses. Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the Gentiles might glorify God. Do you know what the Gentiles were? Literally, that word just meant not Jew, other. And what Jesus is coming to say is the Gentiles can experience the love of Christ, which was an interesting concept for the Jews at the time. That welcome was to go out to others. And if you share that love with others, that will bring joy to the world. If you don't hoard Christ, if you share Christ with others, it will bring joy. Welcome people. And welcome people so that God can be glorified. Do you see that? That value of welcome is for glorifying God. It seems like Paul, who many people read Paul and they say, oh, he's so exclusive. His words here say, welcome people so that God can be glorified. Reach out and share Christ with the world so that God can be glorified, so that they can experience the goodness of community. I know I said it earlier when I was talking about the concert, when I was talking about Christmas Eve. I think Christmas is a season above any other season in the life of the church when people are more open to invitation. They're more open to the invite of saying, hey, come and hear our church's music. Come and experience Christmas Eve with us. And I don't think that's something that puts people off to invite them to Christmas. And I'm not saying put out flyers. I'm saying if you have people that you're in relationship with, invite them because there is something beautiful and joyful about the Christmas season. There's something that resonates with people about this time of Advent that they're invited to. One of the things that I love observing, and one year I want to do it, I've never been able to do it, is Wreaths Across America. I think it's such a cool concept. Arlington Cemetery, 1,600 other cemeteries, thousands and thousands and thousands of people a year go out and they place wreaths on graves to honor people. I think it's a beautiful thing to observe. And you know what's so fascinating? They don't look at the name and go, oh, I don't know if this one would accept Christmas. I don't know if this one would like Christmas. They don't go, oh, I'm not sure about this name. They go and they offer Christmas to every single person. And they put it on as an act of honor, as an act of celebration, and as an act of bringing joy to the cemetery itself. And I think it's a powerful, powerful thing for us to see that happen. And I think the church should be more like Reeds Across America. I think we should be more about putting that invitation out there and about allowing people to experience it. And finally, the passage says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This connects to last week's message. I love these words, be filled with joy and peace and believe in hope. I said last week, our current reality is not the end of the story. It is not the future reality. And I encourage us during this season of Advent to seek hope, even if we're struggling with it a little bit, to seek to find it, because Paul suggests that hope will lead to joy. If we can find hope in Christ, it will lead to joy. A few years ago, I was really struggling at Christmas time. And I was in this program where we went every couple of months and we were with these other pastors. And we had a day. I mean, it was just kind of a really tough day. And we went out that night and I said, hey, let's go drive around. And I had a minivan, so like 9 of us climbed in the minivan. And we pull out of this conference center where we were, and there was this house right across the street that had like a million Christmas lights. Like, it had so many Christmas lights. And it had the radio station that links to them. So I put it on in the van, and they had a loop driveway. And I looped that driveway like 30 times. And every time I'd go through, the other pastors would be like, again, do it again. And we just kept doing it, because if we kept looping that, we didn't have to go back to the other stuff. It was in that moment when we saw those lights that we were reminded of the hope of Christmas again. So maybe this year, drive around and see some Christmas lights. Maybe pack your car full of people and listen to some fun music. But I pray you find hope this Christmas season as you serve others, as you share Christ. I pray that you believe in hope, and that will ultimately lead to joy. Amen.